are living in an artificially induced state of consciousness that resembles sleep. The poor and the underclass are growing. Racial justice and human rights are non-existent. We have been lulled into a trance. They have made us indifferent to ourselves, to others. We are focused only on our own gain. That is their primary method of survival. Keep us asleep, keep us selfish, keep us sedate.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here's your host, Michael Storm.
Thank you so much for joining me. As always, it's a pleasure to be here. I'm live every Sunday, 1 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Go visit the website. Go check out the network website, republicbroadcasting.org, and support the network. I need you to do this. This is not an entirely selfish thing for me. It benefits everybody across the network. It benefits all the listeners who get to hear the amazing points of view and ideas and thoughts that come across the network. And it's all because of you that we do it. That we're even able to do it. We do it for you. We do it because of you. And we do it a little bit selfishly for ourselves. I'll be the first to admit that I do this whole thing every Sunday for me. It's weird to think that there are people who listen. I hear from them all the time. In fact, my oldest daughter tends to listen to the show. And it's a good thing, because if she hadn't, I wouldn't have realized that I had hosed a couple of things this week on the website, towardanarchy.com, because I've been so busy. We had a big sale. We're still having a big sale. I would probably be there right now if not for the fact that I do this from 1 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time every week. Right here on republicbroadcasting.org. All right, well, there you go. I'm just trying to squeeze it all in there, and still tell you that this whole fun little thing. If it wasn't for the fact that my own oldest daughter listens to the show, she's an adult and has a life of her own and lives in a different state and has children and job and worries and troubles and, you know, all of those things that these adult people like ourselves happen to have. And she takes the time to listen, and I guess it's a way that we can stay close when we're not able to chat, not able to see each other on a regular basis given the distance. But if she hadn't been listening, I wouldn't have known that, because I had been so busy this past week that I had messed up a couple of things on the website and getting the archive up there. It was up there, but it had it was titled wrong. It was titled similarly, if not exactly the same, as the week before, and that's because I use a template to do all this stuff. I use the previous week's template every time. All the things I do, every page that I build for the website, every podcast that I add to the stream, every episode of the show that I add to the podcast stream, it's all a template, because I just copy and paste it in there and replace the pertinent information. It makes it nice and quick and easy and generally efficient, as long as you're paying attention. And part of that problem is because I treat that like I treat a lot of other things. I've talked about this, how I'll create a web page. It's the same way that I would sort of paint a painting. Not that I spend a lot of time painting. I'm not that great at it. I said I can do it, but it's one of those things that to make a everybody's tastes are different, but I guess what you might call a really good painting, it takes some quality, some effort. But I still approach these things the same way. And it's very sort of a little bit over here, a little bit over there, and then I'll work on this and work on this. To try to maybe knock out easy things here first and then come back to the harder things. But that leaves a path for me to miss something if I'm not meticulous about it. And when I'm distracted, like I was this week, we're so busy this week because we had a huge sale at the comic book store, and we're having it over the weekend. That's what I was mentioning, that I would possibly probably be there right now, maybe, who knows, I might go and hang out and help sell the comic books, because we're having a dollar issue sale, and that's a big thing, especially in a comic book shop like ours. We have gone out of our way to make sure that all of the comic books have a nice new clean bag and board, or at least fairly recent one. They look nice, they look clean, they're well presented, they're in alphabetical order, they're broken up by a publisher, it's easy to find our material. And so, and you know, otherwise we have most of the stuff in the store is based on market pricing. We, you know, it fluctuates all the time. It's not unlike a commodity. We could talk about that, I suppose, a little bit, but it fluctuates constantly. Certainly from, you know, the last sale to the next sale, it may be the same, but if you take a period of time with any of this stuff, particularly if you're talking about older bronze, Copper Age, Silver Age, Golden Age, and beyond comic books, these things, the prices fluctuate in the market based on the sales. They're a good example of a real, it's interesting because they're not a commodity in any true sense of the word. You think of commodities, you think of something that is particularly usable, but they act very much like a commodity. I've talked about this before. It's part of the problem with Bitcoin in terms of the fact that it's not a physical thing and that you can barely do anything with it. So there's hardly any real value in the currency Bitcoin itself, because of the fact that you can't keep it. You can't take it with you. At least the comic book, you can take it with you. You open up, you read it. You can't eat it, and you can't turn it into something else to make tools to eat with, maybe. But you can ultimately turn it into other wealth that you can use to buy food or tools to otherwise feed yourself and take care of yourself. So it finds itself in this interesting little place in the market and as a currency and as a semi-commodity. But the point is that the price fluctuates like that. That's a problem with the Bitcoin. The price constantly fluctuates because it's traded. It's traded, and the trades cause the fluctuation in the value depending on what people are doing with those exchanges, whether it's for cash or whether it's for comic books, whether it's for Bitcoin, whatever it is, those exchanges are recorded a lot of times. And certainly with the Bitcoin it is, but even with comic books, there are a lot of public places and private places as well that you can become a member of and find the information about the value of your commodity, just like anything. And so we have to adjust those prices. And so when we have a big sale, a dollar sale on comic books, it's a huge deal. And we get people that come from hours away, literally. They'll come from, you know, Nebraska, or they'll come from Missouri, or they'll come from Oklahoma, or they'll be, you know, hours away even within our own state here. You know, they'll come from some place like Wichita or Garden City or someplace south and west of here. And it's an amazing event. It's a really cool thing. And so obviously I've been a bit distracted, and it's in it, that, as you know, hopefully you understand this, that has its positive and negative effects on you. One of the positives is certainly be that I've been relatively disconnected from any of the usual political and social nonsense that we have to deal with on any given day. I haven't paid a whole hell of a lot of attention to it. I have caught the Little Mermaid thing. I see that there are some people manufacturing some outrage over the color of the skin of this mythical character created by Hans Christian Andersen. I guess I don't really understand the anger over it. I don't normally go for this sort of thing, but I actually believe that maybe this time this is a manufactured, this one is actually manipulated by Disney in an attempt to push their new product, their new movie. And I don't think anybody who really took the time to, if you really cared, I don't know why anybody would. It's weird to me. I just really don't understand why anybody would care. But if you really do, maybe there's somebody who's hearing my voice right now that really did, and you're really actually quite upset about this whole Black Mermaid thing. Well, it's weird to me because, one, it's a fantasy character. I do not understand the social justice warrior nonsense in fantasy. It's fantasy. I don't care if it reflects reality. I don't care if it's taken from some other place in reality, be it a story or whatever. It's just a story, and that's all there is to it. They're just characters, and we're just telling stories. And if you're taking away negative messages from stories, then you're probably watching it in the wrong frame of mind, because I'm watching these same things and I have these same concerns about family and about life and about the value of individuals and individuality and choices in who we're with and who we love and how we self-identify. These things are important because I want to be left alone to be able to decide these things for myself. But the truth is, these things are anathema to any sort of liberty. So anybody that's arguing at them, against them, is really wasting a lot of time and a lot of energy. And so it's a little weird for me to imagine that even sort of racist people, I guess that's who would have a problem with this. I just really don't understand. I'm confused. Why anybody would have a problem with it. I guess these racist people who don't want to see the Little Mermaid, a cartoon based on a book, loosely based on a book, a scary novel, story, something that is nothing like this Disney, the previous sort of little green tail white girl in a bikini with red hair, that never existed. That's not what mermaids look like. In fact, they had green skin and were scaled all over, just like a fish would be. They just happened to have sort of upper human parts, I guess. And if you read the story, she gives up her mermaid leg, fish tail thingy for human legs because she wants to pursue this prince, and it's utterly sort of horrible because her feet bleed the whole time, and it's weird to me that it's proof of this huge disconnect, because this same thing that would lead to somebody disliking, hating on a Black Ariel fictional character is the same disconnect that led to believing that the Disney presentation of The Little Mermaid was even anything like the story or had any semblance of the original story, other than it's a mermaid chasing a prince, you know, who wants to trade in, you know, that same, that just that core. The rest of it's a fairy tale versus a cautionary tale, something that's meant to sort of warn you against wanting to be something that you can't be, wanting to be something that you're not. You know, she turns all violent when the prince decides that he doesn't love her any, that he's not interested in her. He doesn't want this green scaly thing. And she sort of plots to kill him, and there's a disconnect between Disney princesses and the real story, and so the whole thing is fantasy, and we're about three times past I don't give a damn, and people are complaining about the color of the skin of this fictional character, and I don't get it. I'm the person that sells comic books. I have thousands of the stupid things surrounding me right now, and tens of thousands of them at any given time when I'm at the store. I understand fantasy. I get wanting to live in, enjoy, participate, experience a fantasy reality, a different understanding of the way things are. But are you really going into this with the – are there just that many people with so much time on their hands that's what they can do? And again, coming from somebody who has enough time on his hands to spend a couple of hours a week wondering what the hell is wrong with people like that. So what are you going to do? I really, truly don't know, and I truly don't understand. But that's about all I've experienced in terms of what's been happening sort of the last week and a half or so. I live in my reality, and so we had a great show with Dr. Dean Lloyd last week, and we're going to continue that conversation here next month. We're going to pick up where we sort of left off in that one, because there was so much more to talk about in terms of the body and how we treat it, and how we live in it and outside of it, and all these ideas that we were covering last week. There's just so much more to talk about, and we had extra time as well. So I've been completely distracted this week, and so I'm looking to catch up myself. I even thought about just that's what I will talk about today, is just playing catch up. But then I realized, I remembered, whatever, that it is the anniversary of the Constitution. It's Constitution Day was yesterday or something, day before, I don't know. It was some time ago. I stopped following the holidays. I'm sorry. I catch the major ones, and you know from experience that I barely pay any attention to those too. I've sort of walked through a weekend and a holiday on a show on that day and failed to recognize that it's a holiday. I stopped following the calendar for the cults, celebratory, all of the various cults and their celebratory dates. So the Constitution Day went, but then I did catch on to it. I did realize that it was happening and that people were talking about it. And so I thought we could celebrate the Constitution. It's 235 years old, and depending on who you ask, it's something along the lines of 162 years dead, or 226 years dead. It just depends on where you put the sort of death date. I at the website towardanarchy.com, if you were to jump up there and look for September 18th, which is where I am in my little world, you would see that I said 162 years dead, and that is I'm sorry, if you do the math, that's the date of the Civil War. If you do the math, that's the beginning of the Civil War. And so certainly by then, I think it's safe to say that any semblance of us trying a country united together, I'll come back and I'll tell you, celebrate the
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company? And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
Look for September 18th right there to follow along, and you'll see that I finally, just after kicking around a number of different ideas, because I didn't want to have a guest this week. I had somebody that wanted to be on the show, and I want to get on the show, and we'll do that in the future, but I didn't want to do it this week because I knew I was going to be. I'm always distracted. There's plenty of things in my life to do that will keep me distracted is not the word. It's not. I'm just doing my life. That's it. That's all there is to it. And I guess maybe distracted from one thing over another, but that's not really true. It's just all prioritized in one place or another. And this is easy for me. I can come here and chat and do this thing for a couple hours every week. I could do it for many, many more hours. I think I've done 6 hours straight before, nonstop, and I wasn't high. DeWardAnarchy.com to follow along. You see that I'm talking about the Constitution, and that's what I decided that I wanted to talk about after kicking around a couple of ideas, including reliving the sort of last couple of months of episodes and talking about all the different the personal development and growth things that the ideas. It was just a wide range of couples stuff, individuals, this mass. I don't know. I felt it. I hope that you felt it. I hope that you got that whatever message you can get out of all of those things that I was talking about, because there's a whole bunch of different ideas and they're all important and they all come back to you, you know, and you being who you want to be and making your decisions and in your life and doing the things that are right for you. These are all very anarchist thoughts for sure. And I don't want to get caught up in a lot of these concepts of and ideas of trying to purposely alter yourself, because I don't do that to myself. I don't a lot of times look at myself and say that something about me needs to change. I recognize that something isn't working for me, and that's in just my day to day and just going through and living my life as I was trying to describe it. So I'm never distracted or taken away from anything. I'm just giving the time and attention to the things that are needing that attention, and they should be some sort of a priority, I suppose, in your life and in my life, and that gives them that place that, you know, all right, I'll spend that time, I'll make that effort, I'll do that thing. It's hard for me to even convey those types of messages that we've talked about for the past few weeks because of that fact that I'm not actively practicing those things as if I had picked up a book and read through that and said, okay, this is who I need to be, this is how I need to be. That's not how it works for me. I'm hyper aware of my own existence and who I am, to my own detriment at some points, but for the most part, very much to my own benefit. And so it's hard for me to convey the message. It's to find those particular words that express that to somebody else when I don't experience many of these things in the same way. I'm being hyper aware of my own existence and who I am and my own faults in life keeps me moving forward in such a way that I try not to create friction for anyone or for myself. And that right there is a very anarchist thing. So it seems very natural. It fits right in. And the more you understand about yourself, the more you understand about who you are and can question yourself and be your own biggest critic, the better you will succeed in life. Because you spend a bunch of time listening to other people tell you about how you should be and who you should be, and that's not you. It's some other thing, whatever it means, whoever that person is to you. It's just some other weird thing that you can't control and you can't please, because they need to please themselves. And it's a big, great big cycle of all of these ideas that we talk about that ultimately end in just a little bit more self-awareness and with self-awareness comes an awareness of the world and an acceptance of the world. That's what's most important, I think, when it comes down to it. That awareness, okay, fine, but accepting the world and accepting those things that you can change. I know there's some poem thing there somewhere, something along those lines about accepting the things that we can change. God grant me the strength to, you know, change the things I can, or accept the things I can't, something along those lines, right? So you're with me. You understand this. So that's all I talk about from week to week, and that includes talking about the Constitution here, and that's what I'll do. I was kicking around the idea of whether or not I would read, actually, just one thing that I've only read once myself, so kind of cool if we did that. I think so. The Constitution of No Authority. I think I'll read it when we get back on Toward Anarchy.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of happy packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one. Rad. Consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We want information. Information. Information.
Who are you?
The new number two.
Who is number one?
You are number six.
I am not a number. I am a free man.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
About every time, you know, the only other thing we need, I need some Kiss in there. God, I gotta redo these things. There's so many of these little things. There's so many little things like that. But the big thing is to just come here and do this every week and chat and throw out these ideas and have these conversations with the people that I talk with and get these new ideas and thoughts kicking around in the old bean there. just try to filter in the good stuff, filter out the stuff that doesn't really matter. That's what it's all about, and it's all thanks to you. Please support the network. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. You know, it was great. And sort of last week we had the extra long show, and the doctor and I just sort of chatted through the whole show almost without a break. And then there's that little section in there right there before this last break that's just this little 4-minute section, and you can't really do anything in there, and so it's just you don't want to start talking about anything particularly important because you have to stop and then you have to come back to the idea because the natural flow of the break there. Well, it was nice last week, but I'll tell you what's nicer. It's nicer to hear the new advertisers and the spots on the network and the excitement that is the growing and changing of the network, and the idea that it's all truly because of the listeners, 100%. One way or another, whether it's through the sort of commercial advertisements or not, if those people who buy those commercial spots didn't think that our listeners would go and support their businesses and couldn't prove it in the numbers, they wouldn't buy those spots. They wouldn't put them there. So it's all about you and what you do. Love that win-win situation, republicbroadcasting.org. There's the shop button up there. You click on that. The RBN shop, and you jump in there and you pick up great services and products in there where everybody wins. We win, you win, the people who create those wonderful things, they win. This is how it works, right? This is anarchy. This is the system has its way of doing things. Those guys, those other guys, and what they do is they position themselves politically and socially to force their way into the zeitgeist, the conversation, whatever it is, whereas something like republicbroadcasting.org and all the wonderful people there and the voices that they make possible, it's an entirely different approach to the way that business is done. It really is, because it just proves that people want to hear the truth. This has been a thing that's been just running through my head here a lot lately, is and how much people truly really want to hear the truth. And I'm even the first to do it. So often, so negative about our fellow man, because we see a false perception of our fellow man, or we see our fellow man in an instance instead of in a complete picture of who that person really is. You know, you get that flash, that instant reaction, response to a person, a stimuli, some event, whatever it is, and you get an impression that is nothing like who or what that individual is, and we function on it, especially in a fast-moving society such as our own. We don't really have a choice. We have to rely on our instincts, and don't, trust me, I'm will be one of the first to tell you to trust your instincts when it comes to it. It's why I have managed to survive as long as I have. I put distance between myself and things and people that I find might lead me into trouble. And it's been proven a number of times in my life as I walk away from those people in those places, and they continue to do the stupid things that they do, and they get themselves in trouble, they even get themselves dead. It happens. So far, so good. A little knock on wood right there. I'm still around. So I was kicking around this idea about the Constitution, and I hate to even admit this because it's so terrible. But then again, it speaks of who I am and what I do and why I'm able to do it and why I'm comfortable in doing it. And that's talking about any of these hard issues and putting a a voice to some of this truth, this wonderful truth that you, the listeners, make possible across this amazing network. The way that happens, the reason that it happens is it's really quite simple, because I'm not going to lie to myself to tell you, well, I don't know you. I don't need to make you happy or paint a pretty picture for you in those terms. I don't have to placate you. We have a very honest relationship. I talk, you listen. It's truly one of the best relationships that you can possibly have. It's great to be a listener. You should be proud of yourself. You're a very good listener. I was kicking around this idea, just to get back to this, because I really want to read this. I wasn't going to because I'm thinking it's obligatory for me to read Lysander Spooner's Constitution of No Authority, and I didn't do it for many, many years. I've only read it for the first time a few years ago, and I've read it the one time, and it's fine, it's great. The core premise of it is solid, and it speaks to my own individualism, my own anarchism. And so that's fine. It resonates with me. There you go. That's the term I'm looking for. But then I got to thinking about it, and I remembered that I am here on the network, and across the network, there's going to be some subset, maybe a greater portion of it, that has never and may never listen to read Spooner's Constitution of No Authority. You maybe have heard about it, maybe not. It's hard to say. It's very hard to say. It's because it finds it's definitely anarchist. There's no libertarian. There's no left or right. I mean, you can talk about Spooner as a leftist anarchist. A lot of anarchists are, but that's just because they spend so much time complaining about why they're not free, and instead of just being free and practicing smart economics and doing the thing. I know some of them preach it, but they often don't practice it, obviously, or they wouldn't have, there would be no such thing as a left anarchist, because the only reason there's such thing as a left anarchist is because they're anti-capitalist, and anti-capitalism is just you being against me getting to do what I want with my wealth and to make my wealth any way that I see fit in a voluntary manner. And as long as I do that and you would deny me that right to do that, then you're no better off than the rest of them. So left anarchism is an anachronism. It's an oxymoron. It's not possible to be a left anarchist. You're either a leftist or you're not. You either don't understand economics and don't want other people to be wealthy and healthy and make their own decisions about their health and their wealth, or you do. You don't get to have it both ways. So that whole schism, that whole split, I'm not going to pay any attention to it, any more attention to it than that, and just give you the sound information contained within the words of someone who's supposed to, he's a left anarchist because he doesn't really understand economics, really doesn't understand money. And that's obvious. And it's unfortunate because it should be a no-brainer. The two things should go together hand in hand. But I knew then that there would be a bunch of people across the network who'd never read this, who'd never heard it before, and so I decided I would go ahead and do it, even though all you anarchists have already done so. And so this is the Constitution of No Authority. It's Lysander Spooner. It was written in 1869, in case you don't know, and I've shared enough links, and I think I even did today, in fact. If you go to September 18th, at towardanarchy.com. Yeah, I did, and let me make sure it's clean. Yeah, the link is good. Again, that's what I started to say, that I didn't want to admit it, but I pulled this all together here in the last few minutes before the show, completed the page and completed the links and my thoughts on what exactly I wanted to do in terms of talking about really just what I would talk about on the show, but specifically in terms of the Constitution and how I would approach that, because it's a big document. There's a lot to overanalyze in it, and there are a lot of things that don't apply now, and it's political nonsense. It's just another piece of paper devised by some white guys in a room somewhere, and just a small number of them, and this the pretend notion, the illusion of democracy and our participation in the whole facade, the fraud that has been going on for 235 years. It's called the Constitution. I think it's a great statement, and it's not so long that it's going to be painful or anything like that. And I think that once I get into it and start reading it, you will see that it's not a problem. The biggest problem will be whether or not I can keep myself from expounding on the ideas contained within, to whether or not we actually get through the thing, even in sort of another hour and 15 minutes. Trust me, it's not that long to where we should have to be concerned about that. Okay, so Lysander Spooner, The Constitution and No Authority. The Constitution has no inherent authority or obligation. It doesn't rule over you, and you're not obliged to follow it. It has no authority or obligation at all unless as a contract between man and a man. And this is where I'm already jumping in there, but I have to jump in there because this is why I was attracted to reading this in the first place, and I saw a quote about this contract and the idea that it might be a contract is something that we're often sold, especially on the right. The right love that quote, I don't remember the exact quote, but it was just saying that the Constitution is a contract, and people have made that claim for a long, long time that it's a contract. And I guess it's just people not understanding what they're talking about. A contract is a legal document. It's a very specific legal document that spells out things in very certain terms, and it spells out the parties, and the parties are voluntary participants in it. And if they're not voluntary participants in it, they are not bound by the contract. And so this idea that there was this contract that was created 235 years ago to dictate who I am is a little bit of silly nonsense. And I knew this at least 35 years ago when I was sort of 15 years old and understood these things myself quite inherently, being the free individual that I was. And so finding something like this many, many years later and understanding that people don't even know what the Constitution is, let alone what it says, how it actually applies to us as individuals or us as communities or the larger countries and the nation itself. So that was what attracted me to it, and I won't stray again from that. The Constitution has no inherent authority or obligation. It has no authority or obligation at all unless as a contract between man and man. And it does not so much as even purport to be a contract between persons now existing. It purports at most to be only a contract between persons living, 235 years ago now. And it can't be supposed to have been a contract then only between persons who had already come to years of discretion so as to be competent to make reasonable and obligatory contracts. Furthermore, that means they weren't old enough to do it or within their right mind. Furthermore, we know historically that only a small portion, even of the people then existing, were consulted on the subject or asked or permitted to express their consent or dissent in any formal manner. These persons, if any, who did give their consent formally are all now dead. Most of them have been dead a lot of years. He's 40, 50, 60, 70 years. And the Constitution, so far as it was their contract, died with them. If it is a contract at all, it certainly did. They had no natural power or right to make it obligatory upon their children. It is not only plainly impossible in the nature of things that they could bind their posterity, but they did not even attempt to bind them. That is to say, the instrument does not purport to be an agreement between anybody but the people then existing, nor does it either expressly or impliedly assert any right, power, or disposition on their part to bind anybody but themselves. Let us see. Its language is, we the people of the United States, that is, the people then existing in the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. It is plain in the first place that this language, as an agreement, purports to be only what it is most really was, vis-a-vis a contract between the people then existing, and of necessity binding as a contract only upon those then existing. In the second place, the language neither expresses nor implies that they had the power to bind their posterity to live under it, and we will pick up the Constitution of no authority on the other side.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the Republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the Republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle, or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's SusannaSecret.com. SusannaSecret.com.
Thank you.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
For September 18th, you see, I'm talking about the Constitution, celebrating the Constitution, 235 years old at some point this last week here, I guess. If my math is correct, I don't know. I don't pretend to. I just this one and that one minus that one. And I came up with some numbers. It could all be fake. I don't know. I wasn't there. It was too long ago. I don't know when they did what they did or why they did what they did. All I can do is tell you what the result has been, what we see before us as the result of this great experiment, America. And supposedly that great experiment is individual liberty. But that's not true. The great experiment here is, in fact, in controlling individuals and making them think that they have individual liberty. And we only get further and further away from that every day. Events like September 11th help see to that. We were talking about that last weekend, and I'm going to get back. And I put the link up there for you, the link to the Constitution of No Authority. I'm just going to wait until we go over to the top of the hour here in just a minute, and then I will pick right back up in that. And part of the thing that I'm finding as I'm reading this is he repeats himself so often. I told you I've only read this once before, and I just agree with the general premise that it's not the Constitution isn't a valid contract, that we can't be held to it, and that a small percentage of people voting on individuals who claim to uphold that contract to this day doesn't empower them over me, and it doesn't make me obliged to them in any manner. I live in liberty. Liberty is the absence of any sort of obligation to the state, to authority. That's liberty. That's the difference between freedom and liberty. Freedom is the natural state. Liberty is the absence of any obligation to a supposed authority, somebody that claims that they have authority over you, whether it's an individual, whether it's a gang, or whether it's a gang that calls itself government. It makes no significant difference. And that's the core the premise of the Spooner piece that is the Constitution of No Authority. And I left a link there for you at September 8th at towardanarchy.com to the complete text. And this particular link I found of is, it's not written out very well. It could be organized a lot better, a lot cleaner. But then again, it's sort of representative of his language and his use of and his repeating of the same sort of thing over and over again to make his point. I certainly can summarize it in a lot less words than he uses, and I just summarized it in a lot less words than he uses to make his argument. But nevertheless, I will, when we get back here at the top of the hour on Toward Anarchy, continue reading you Lysander Spooner's Constitution of Authority. Right back.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.